Before Bob gets up here, I wanted to read from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Shepherds have a tough task. I know that from having the privilege of working alongside several elders over the years. I have so many times been impressed by their faith, by their love, by their commitment to their flock, and also having a dad who is a shepherd. There is a burden to that work. They feel a sense of responsibility to the flock that they're called to care for. But one thing that I don't think about enough, and I'll just be transparent about that this evening, is I don't think about my responsibility often enough to them, to the shepherds. I'm going to read this again. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, as I reflect on this text, what I am hearing the writer of Hebrews saying is that I ought to do the best job that I can in matters of faith and living for Jesus, so that our shepherds, people like Bob, can think about their work, can approach their work with joy. We all have a responsibility to our leaders. And in doing this is the beauty of this passage, of this teaching, of this wisdom, is that the more that I do my best job for my leaders because of the work that they're doing, the more it will actually benefit me. The more that it will benefit the church, the more that it will benefit you. And so as we sort of venture into our second installment, if you will, of the heart of a shepherd, let's think about that, our responsibility that we have to men like Bob. And one quick note, just a few minutes ago, Gary was giving me a hard time because of the questions that I asked him after he made his presentation. And so I've got some really difficult questions prepared for Bob. If there's time, things like, what's your favorite color? Tell us what's your favorite food. So there you go, Gary. We've got some really challenging questions prepared for Bob. So that's what you get for. No, never mind. So Bob, why don't you come on up?
Well, I hope it can be useful this evening. It's an overwhelming task to me, and I have no claim that I'm adequate to the task, but with God's help and your help, we're working toward the same goal, and so that's my only hope. So I thought it might be good to share a little bit of my family history. I appreciate knowing where people are coming from, and I think it helps us understand each other a little better. So when I started thinking about this, I might have overdone this, but it feels like that it influences us, and hopefully we can understand each other better that way. So that's where I wanted to start. I think that I know that we receive so many things that affect our lives that we don't really realize. I believe a lot of it's probably embedded in how we were brought up and how our grandparents treated our parents and how their grandparents treated them, and I think a lot of that stuff kind of builds on itself and follows down through, and we don't really realize. There was even some research that I heard about that they're believe that behaviors become embedded in DNA, and it's actually, there's some behaviors that can be passed down genetically. I don't know that that's totally vetted, but I wouldn't be surprised. I believe in the scripture it says something to the effect that the righteous will bless up to 1,000 generations, and the evil will curse their children for three or four generations. So that would be a mechanism that actually happened. Here we go. So family history. I think I was pretty typical. Our family is pretty typical of a lot of Central Texas families. My folks, I don't know a lot beyond my grandparents, although there's been a few that have gone back and started looking, but I think our roots were in Germany and Switzerland and maybe Scotland. They came over in the 1700s and migrated through central United States and got to Texas probably in the late 1800s, I believe. So on both my mom and dad's side, that's where they came from. And they were country folks. They lived out in the country. And when I was growing up, we spent time in the country with them. The Fry family was in what we call Pleasant Valley. I doubt if any of y'all know where that is, up near Marble Falls, just on this side of Marble Falls. There's a little area there that my dad grew up in and his family on the Colorado River there. And my mom's folks, the Despain family, were from Spicewood. They were on the other side of the river. So they were there for a couple of generations as well. Both had strong German ancestry. Their parents, the Heinitz family, which where one of my grandmothers came from, actually settled in Baghdad out here, and I think may have been an early member of the Baghdad community that got that going. So I think that probably affects how I view things in some ways. I believe our families were pretty strongly influenced by the Restoration Movement. We didn't talk about that, but in looking back at how things went, I believe that's the case. Most all of them were members of the Church of Christ, at least back to my grandparents. My grandfather, Raymond Despain, was a preacher. He preached around Central Texas. I don't know if it's in the 40s or 50s up through probably early 80s, I'm thinking. I know he preached in Marble Falls and Blanco and Pontotoc and Elgin and McDade and in Austin at the Delwood congregation in Del Valley. And he was instrumental in starting the church in Oak Hill that's now Western Hills, I believe, is the name of it. So it was, he was an important influence in our whole family's life. And he and his wife were church workers their whole life that I knew them. So when we first started out, we lived on the Despain place down in Spicewood, and we were little kids, and my mom and dad lived out there, didn't have much. Daddy started out farming, and he said the best thing that ever happened to him was the drought of the 50s, because that got him out of farming. Starved out of that, so moved to Marble Falls, and that's where I grew up, in Marble Falls. He worked hard. He was not well educated. I don't think he got his high school diploma, but he worked hard and worked at the rock quarry out at Granite Mountain, sawing the granite, and then got a job that was a little better later on, but still worked hard his whole life. And so we didn't have a whole lot, but we had what we needed. I have a brother and two sisters, we grew up there in Marble Falls. Mom and Dad still live in the same house they lived in since we were little kids. And right now they're getting to the point, Dad's 91 and Mom's 88, I believe, that they really need some care. And so they need somebody there all the time. So my brothers and sisters and Mary and I try to take care of them. So we're gone at least once week in the month, and Mary's gone a lot more. She goes up there every week or so. Taking care of them. They're not in real bad shape, but they need somebody there, and it's a full-time, 24-hour job when you're there. But they were great examples for us. We were involved in the church from as long as I can remember. Whatever was going on, we were there. And they didn't do a lot of teaching overtly, but they lived a Christian life, and that's what was a real example for us. I wanted to mention the Marble Falls congregation is I enjoy visiting up there. They're a very balanced congregation, as I would see it. Very energetic. Really enjoy visiting there. We still have a lot of friends there. Good folks there. So just kind of growing up, we spent a lot of time outside. I really liked to be out fishing, hunting. We worked in the field some, worked the livestock. That was kind of our life growing up. Like I say, didn't have much, but we spent a lot of time working and playing with our family. The Fry family and the Despain family got together regularly, and we played dominoes and hunted and did a lot of things together. So that was important formative time for us. And I think it gave me a good foundation, at least, to deal with things that come up. So far, so good. Let's see. So conclusions about that, I guess, that I was reaching as I was growing up related to God was that it was really clear to me that there was a creator, and he was the God of the Bible. That's still important to me to see that. And just everywhere you look, there's so many ways that's obvious if you have that perspective anyways. So I understood that the Bible was true. It was the Word of God, and God was real and powerful, and he had a way for us to live, and he was telling us how to do it. It wasn't a secret. So I was baptized in Marble Falls when I was about 15 during a gospel meeting. And I think these things have really, I mean, they provided the foundation, good or bad, but that's where we come from. So it's been a blessing so far. Let's see, other things I guess influential in kind of our family life was once we, Mary and I got married, we like to take vacations. When we were growing up, I think we took one vacation to Big Bend, and that was it. We didn't go anywhere. Couldn't afford to. But Mary and I and our families tried to do that, and Colorado was a popular spot. We've been at a lot of places that were really spectacular, and again, a reminder that God is out there, and he's created a really wonderful world. Most special one, I guess, was in Tanzania. My youngest son was over there for a year and a half, and I would have never gone to Tanzania. But if you ever can go, give it a shot. Mount Kilimanjaro is there, and there's some really spectacular places there. Just another, I guess, clear sign that God has really created a wonderful world that we live in. And thinking about that, you know, if he's made this and we can see it, how much more awesome is God than what he's made? It's unfathomable. I wanted to mention one thing about that too, is that I kind of see the study of science as trying to figure out what God did here. To me, there's a real compatibility with the study of science versus the study of the Bible. If you start from the point that God created it and God is the beginning, then I don't really have a problem with with studying science. I think it's a way to know God more. I think we get off track, and scientists get off track when they decide they figured everything out and they know more than he did, and they put themselves above the creator. But if we start with God, I really believe that's a useful way to spend our time. So things that influenced my life, other than that, I guess a few people in particular, and I kind of reminisce some here, I guess, because maybe it's because of formative times, or maybe it's because I'm getting old and I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I can remember what happened when I was young. But one of them was my first grade teacher, Miss Smith. I found out my name was Robert in her class, because I was always Bob at home. And so it's kind of peculiar, but I had a dual identity after that. So at school, I was always Robert, and I never told him any different. So that went on through college, and then when I got out of college, and then through work. So most of the folks at work, I still go by Robert, but my family and in church, I was Bob, so I go by either one. But that started in first grade. I think she taught my dad in school as well. She was an older lady at the time. And I got a lot of paddling in her class. She would put me up front of the class and paddle me. And I hated going to school. My stomach hurt when I had to go to school. She was mean. But anyway, we survived first grade, and it got better after that. And but that was it was a formative in some way or another. Another one was their preacher in Marble Falls when we were growing up, Holton and Rita George. I don't remember how big the congregation was. It had a good group of young folks, though, families. It probably was in the 150 range, I'm thinking, maybe 100. But anyway, they, Holton and Rita, were really devoted ministers, and they helped the youth group, the kids, a lot. We didn't have a youth minister, Rita in particular held a class and taught us how to sing a little bit. She got the kids together, and we learned a little bit of music. And that was really good. And we did things at their house, and they participated in a lot of activities. And actually, Holton is still in that area, and he comes by and visits Mom and Dad pretty often. good influence. And also went to singing school during the summer, a couple of summers for a week long at Camp Hensel. None of the buildings that are there now were there when we were there. There were some old houses up on the hill and some screen cabins and stuff. But it was a really good singing school. Holland Boring was a guy. I don't know if any of y'all knew him, but there's a senior and a junior. I believe they both passed away, and their families ran that. And it was really good. I learned something about singing and song leading when I was a teenager. So it was very worthwhile time spent. And I would argue that if we could all do a little better job worshiping if we knew a little bit about music. I think it's been a blessing to me, and my family sings. Mary sings. I think she learned to sing from listening to the radio when she was a kid. They had it on all the time. And but singing has been an important part of my life, and I really enjoy it. And I don't believe we do it enough. I think the scripture says, sing and make melody in your hearts, in a couple of three places. And the way I read it, it was part of their life. It wasn't only something you did in worship. Maybe it wasn't even talking about worship in a couple of those cases, but as a part of their life. And music is so important to people, regardless whether it's church music or not. You can look around the world, money's made by the millions, billions off the music industry. And I think there's something in us that resonates with music, and we could do a better job of using that in our spiritual life. So if you can learn to sing a little bit, it'll help you. It's helped me. I appreciate that opportunity. There was a couple other folks in Marble Falls that had a big effect. It was young families that were just really involved with the kids when we were growing up. And so the youth ministers often take part of that role, have that, and it was a blessing, those folks that gave their time and lives to that. Also, I guess in school, I had a teacher in high school that had a pretty big influence, and she was a chemistry and physics and geometry teacher, really encouraged us. I don't know, I kind of took to that stuff, and maybe it's because of her. But she kind of talked about engineering a little bit, and I ended up going to university and getting an engineering degree. But in Marble Falls, I didn't know any engineers. I never heard of an engineer. You know, what is that? She got me kind of started on that a little bit. Another one I went to the University of Texas. First, I went to Central Texas College in Killeen for a year. I didn't know what I needed to do. They had a pre-engineering thing, and so I went over there. It was good, but they didn't really get me started on the right courses. Anyways, it was a little bit of a waste of time, but I ended up at the University of Texas after that, and a professor over there, David Fowler, was just a wonderful man. He's a member of the church. I think he may be in some of the more conservative groups, but he taught me about five different classes, and he was my graduate advisor, and he was really a good Christian, and he really made a difference on my life, and he still does. He still check it. We talked to him once in a while, and went to the funeral of his grandson that committed suicide about a month ago. But really good guy. And that was a time at UT, the hippie era was starting. It was going good. And you could have anything you wanted at the university, and you still can. I think you can go lots of different ways, but there were good people there. And he was one that had a good impact. there was another just kind of a little interesting thing to me, at least, was I took a technical writing class because I didn't want to take speech. And I still don't like speech, but I couldn't come up with a subject for my technical paper. So I got to talking to this professor, and we decided I would write on God's plan for salvation according to Paul from a technical viewpoint. And this he was a literature professor, and he said, yeah, that'll work. He helped me hone it down a little bit. And so that's what I did. I think I got a B on that one, probably. But anyways, there's good folks over there at the university, and you can get into whatever trouble you want, but there's a lot of good folks that can help too. So these were some of the more formative years, I guess, that I was reminiscing about and thinking affected us. Some other things, I guess, growing up, I met Mary when she was a senior, and I guess I just got out of high school, and we dated for a couple of years and got married, and she went to vocational school in Austin, and we got married when I was 20, I believe, and she was 19. Seemed perfectly logical at the time. You know? Now it looks pretty young, we were ready to get married, and it's worked out for us. But she worked while I was going to school. I think she made $200 a month or something, $250, $300. Okay. We didn't have much, but I had an uncle that helped us with a cheap rent house, and it wasn't much, but it was a good place to live and didn't cost us much. When at that time we went to church at the Cameron Road congregation. I had relatives there. It was close to where we lived, and it was an active, viable, dynamic congregation growing. Lots of young families, as I remember, and a lot of people involved in their lives of each other. And we have a lot of lifelong friends that we developed while we were there. I don't remember how long we were there. It's a pretty good while. 9 years. Okay. So we played dominoes and went camping and shared meals and studied the Bible and spent a lot of time together. Courtney's mom and dad are some of our friends from over there, and there's others as well. That was a very important time in our lives. We worked on the bus ministry over there. I drove a bus some. The bus ministry picked up kids east of town. Mary sang on there and worked with the kids, and I drove the bus some. And one memorable event, we were over on East 12th Street in some apartment complex, and the lady that was taking the kids to the door came back around the bus, and she just looked scared as everything. And this guy came around the front of the bus, and it was a toy machine gun, and he had a raincoat on, and he was drunk. And he said she had scared her, and I had to keep my foot on the brake, but he came on, opened the door of the bus, and I thought he was going to get on. He said, "Are you a reverend?" And I said, "No, I'm not a reverend, but what can I do?" I can't remember what happened. Turned out okay, but it scared us. So anyway, I think we did some good for the kids over there. It certainly did good for us during that time. A little bit about Mary's background and story. I think that affects us as well. When we met, she wasn't a Christian. She had an open mind, though, and she was searching for God. She needed some direction in her life, and her family was pretty unstable. I guess, was she on her second marriage? Your mom on her third marriage at that time? Mary had lived in a foster home for 3 years. Well, she was in middle school, I think. But at that time, they lived in Marble Falls, and we started dating, we went to church. That's what we did. And so she was interested in that. And we went through the Jewel Miller film strips with the minister up there, and pretty logical presentation of the gospel. Seemed good. So we were going good there. The turning point, I think, one of them was for her was she had questions about communion. And so she went and asked her, the preacher where he preached a denominational church, about their communion practices. And I don't know how she approached him, but he basically told her, you know, I don't have time to talk to you about this. If you're questioning my answer, kind of get away. So she didn't affect her very well from that perspective. And so she learned the truth of the Bible through a Bible class and going to those, and was baptized. Our family, my brothers and sisters, I guess three of us, dated non-Christians, and we ended up, they all ended up studying the Bible and becoming Christians. The best evangelism we've done is marrying folks. My other sister married a Christian, and they're a strong family as well. So all of our family grew up in that way, and most of the grandkids are also Christians. So I don't know. That probably speaks something about the foundation we got, that we weren't really aware of what was going on there. But that's the way it's gone. We got two boys. We have two sons. They grew up here. Guess we moved out to Leander, where we live now, between Round Rock and Leander, in 1988. Kenneth Whaley built our house. Is he here? No. So he did a great job, but I remember him being nervous about building a house for an engineer. He didn't really want to do that. And I was going to do some of the work myself. And we did, and it worked out good. When we moved out here, it was too far to Cameron Road, so we decided to come to the Leander congregation, because that's where our kids went to school. So the kids grew up here, and Whit was a big influence on their lives as their youth minister. They were involved in a lot of things, and they both got degrees in the Bible. Travis from Harding and ACU, and Jason from ACU. Looking back, they both got a bachelor's degree, and they both got two master's degrees. So it took them a while to figure out what they were going to do, I guess. It was good for them. Christian education was good for them, but I don't know if it's worth the price you pay or not, honestly. But you can get a good education in other places. But it was good. It was good for them. And we ended up, I guess when we got done, we didn't owe any money, so that was good. Mary went to work when the kids got, oh, what are you saying? Okay, when they got a little bigger, and basically her salary went to paying for their educations from the whole way there. So that's the way we did it. And let's see, we have three grandkids. One group lives in Abilene, the other's in Houston. So we spend some time there. Let's see, another thing that might have some influence on something here is in our 41 years of marriage, we've only lived in three houses, which I think seems to be unusual. It seems normal to me, but we haven't moved much. And I've been in the same job for 37 years, same company. Again, seems pretty normal to me, but doesn't seem the way most folks do it. So you can read into that whatever you like. I don't know what the conclusion there is, but let's see. In church, we served as a deacon at Cameron Road, and I think I was 25 when they appointed me a deacon, which, again, doesn't seem normal. I don't know what was going on there, but there, we had some young guys that served as deacons, and so we served there for a while, and then here for a while, and then I've been an elder here, trying to serve. It's 2.5 years as an elder. Another thing that I thought I might mention that have influenced how I view things, I guess, is while on Leander here, we've always had, or we for a long time, the Leander congregation had a member of the congregation on the school board. I don't know who started that. I think BW served some. Jeannie Whaley and Jimmy Helm and Lynn Ramsey, I don't know if any of y'all remember them, but they're on the school board. And well, Lynn and I were about the same age, and we thought, well, maybe we'll do this. And we went to class about it, and I said, I'm not doing that. So, but Lynn said he was. So he did. He got elected. Then he moved after the first year, and so he said, would you be interested in taking my place? And I said, well, I'll give it a shot. And so he asked them if I could be appointed to take his place, and so that worked out. I kind of interviewed for that, and I didn't have to run in an election, so that was good. But then after doing it a little bit, I said, this is important, and so I ran for two terms and served some time, I guess 7 years doing that. Just an observation there, when I started in 95, there was 8,000 students in the district, more or less. And then when I quit in 2002, there was 16,000. And I think there's about 36,000 in the Leander School District now. And that's not that long ago. This community is changing. And you could really see it there. We're building schools right and left. And what are you going to do with all these kids? And how are you going to teach them and all that? So there's been a lot of folks here that have worked in that realm. And it's something we really, I would appreciate if any of us could continue in that service. It's important for us to be involved in the community, I think. Somebody's going to do it. We ought to be helping out in that. Let's see. Other things, I guess, about my work. It takes a lot of time. I've been in the same company for 37 years, and Datum Engineers is a structural engineering firm, and I try to oversee the Austin office. I think it's just because of longevity. I've been here longer than anybody, but so there's about 20 of us that try to do engineering and things here. So, and we've designed a lot of buildings. It's really kind of fun to drive around town and see what you've done. That's one thing I like about the work, is you can kind of see the fruit of your labor. And one of the big problems I have is trying to keep balance in your life. Work and family and church and a little recreation, it's just more than there's time to do. So I don't do very well at balancing that, but kind of the only way I've been able to rationalize it anyways is that I'll do what I can, and then God and other folks have to do the rest, and I can't worry too much about that. But I'm totally inadequate to deal with all the stuff that could be done and it needs to be done. And Mary's been a great help in that regard, and helping me keep on track and filling in the gaps. But it's kind of overwhelming. A few core beliefs I thought it might be worth talking about it a bit. You may have to blow the whistle if I'm going too long. One of my character flaws is I don't pay attention to time. Mary can vouch for that. Time. God is real and active, and we often don't recognize what he's doing, at least not immediately, but I trust that he's there working for us or with us. And the Bible is an inspired word of God, and it's reliable. God knows how to communicate with us. He did it the way that it needed to be done so we could understand what we need to know. There's mysteries there still, and that may be the beauty of it, is that you never plumb the depths of what he wants you to know there. But if we do know what we know how to do and what we know to do, then I think he'll bless our efforts, and we're better off if we do that. It's kind of I've been puzzling over this the last few years. It's kind of strange to me that we think we know to do something, but we don't do it. And why is that? But it seems to be a very common thing in humans that we don't always do what we ought to do, and we know how to do it, and it's right there in front of us. But that's kind of a puzzle. But then I thought, well, Romans 7, Paul really speaks to that, probably addresses that pretty well. Another thing I really believe is that the church is really the body of Christ here on earth. He says that, and I thought I might even read a scripture about it. It's really meaningful to me is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. There's some discussion there about how the body functions and as the church functions as a body. And it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And now the body is made up, not made up of one part, but many. But in fact, God arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So God arranged the parts of the body as he wanted them to be. So if I don't like what you're doing, that's okay. God put you there. If you're in the body, which that's God's decision, then it's where he wants you to be. In the churches I've been in, I've only been in three congregations, in Marble Falls, Cameron Road, and Leander. I believe we're trying to follow God's way, and we're basically on the right path. I don't think we have it all figured out, it's not perfect, but I believe we're on the right path, and we're trying to do what needs to be done. Let's see. I think the other thing I want to probably say is that I really have a lot of confidence in this congregation. God's working here in many ways. there's a lot of dedicated believers, and there's a lot of strength here, as there is in everybody. And God only knows the limits of that. One of the good things that I've enjoyed about being an elder is learning more about what people are doing. And helping people to connect. There's so much potential here, and I'm excited about the future. And this, particularly this visioning process, I'm hopeful will bear some fruit that will lead us where we need to be going. Also wanted to say that the church really isn't about the preacher, but the preacher can have a big impact. And I really appreciate Rob and Sarah for working here. Really doing a good job. and that's about, I guess, what I wanted to say. Any time for questions? No, we're out of time. No. So, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to close with there, but we do need to have an invitation in case.
Yeah, that was smart.
So we ran over time, and that's
yeah. I don't think
fault.
We have time for questions, but I just got a couple thoughts here as we wrap up.
Okay,
that's okay to share.
Okay, yeah.
So, but what I was going to share is one that was very moving, so much so that my 2-year-old daughter was asking if she could be baptized. And I kid you not, I don't know if you all could hear her back there. She heard you say baptize or baptism, and she said, baptize? And she's saying it again right now. So anyways, little kids are sponges for sure. But Bob, thanks so much for sharing. And we'll just do it this way. If you have any questions that you want to ask Bob afterwards in the foyer, go ahead and ask him. And we'll just go ahead and do it that way, but we are out of time. As we do each week, a tradition of ours when we come together is to offer an invitation, let you know if there's anybody here that needs prayers of the church family. You can let us know what's on your heart, and we'll pray for you and pray with you. Also, if there's anybody here this evening that's not my 2-year-old daughter that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we would just love to witness you do that today. So Alan's going to lead us in a song. If you have any needs, you can come forward. We stand and continue our time of worship.